Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
All right, 11 o'clock hour, just getting started still here on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley in for Cody today with perfect timing with the draft wrapping up to have Binks knowledge, him and Chris and Osero, part of the Character Concerns crew, their draft coverage all weekend long. Hopefully you caught some of that on 610. If not, of course, the Odyssey app, 610sports.com. You guys got a new podcast coming out tomorrow, I think you said, as well, to already kind of recap, but also maybe even peek forward a little bit to 2025, which is crazy. I saw somebody already had at way too early, top 25, 2025. Mock draft out there. One programming note to mention, 11:30 originally was the scheduled time for Brett Veach to address the media. That's been pushed back to the 2 o'clock hour today. So Brett Veach will not speak during our show. Tune into the drive to find out how they're going to handle that. But at 2 o'clock or 2:45, I think is when he's now scheduled to speak. But let's talk more about the Chiefs draft. We already focused in on the top two picks a little bit. We'll get back to Kingsley and the left tackle battle. Obviously Xavier Worthy. We were just discussing the weight along with Keon Coleman and Waffle House and big bold take. I want to fast forward 2 years from now to find out if that's the case. But middle round picks for the Chiefs, still focused on offense. Yeah, there was a couple defensive backs that are thrown in there, but the tight end seemingly is who people are talking about the most a little bit out of TCU, Jared Wiley. He was the fourth round pick, pick 131. And you actually had his college coach on, Sonny Dykes, who was down at TCU.
Yeah, Sonny Dykes at TCU. That's where Camp Pat was last year, right? They were down there a lot. They've worked out there, and I guarantee you Wiley will be quickly at Camp Pat. He does give you that receiving option. Did lead the nation in tight end touchdowns. And they had problems in the red zone, TCU, but he was able to get the 8, which is pretty big. Even he was catching them from Max Duggan the year before. So a big part of that team that went to the national title game. You know, he was first team all Big 12 at tight end. His score is eerily similar, the RAS, to what Kelsey was. And it's, hey, Kelsey's greatest ever. So even comparing anybody to him is ridiculous. But the fact is, this not the perfect place? You can learn from Kelsey. I'm sure he'll be at tight end U. I'm sure he'll end up at tight end U because Kelsey's like a coach on the field. Plus, being with Andy Reid, I asked Sonny Dykes yesterday, who, by the way, 10 different coach of the years from 2 years ago. So the guy knows a little bit about coaching football. But this was his take on the perfect spot for Wiley.
I completely agree. I mean, it's almost like, you know, coming in and you know, being Pat's backup as a quarterback, you know, where you have a chance to sit back and watch one of the best to ever play the game, you know, play that position. And you know, Kelsey's such a good player and plays so smart and makes so many plays. And so Jerry will have a chance to really learn all the nuances that you know, make good players great players. And so he'll have a chance to sit behind. Also, I'm sure that they'll have some packages where, you know, both of them are on the field at times and get into a little bit different personnel groupings, maybe some 12 and 13 and some things to take advantage of the skill that they have at that position. But, you know, Andy Reid's the best at using his players. I mean, nobody utilizes the strengths of players better than Andy. I mean, he just figures out what guys can do and puts them in situations to be successful. And that's why he's got such a great track record.
It's kind of the thing with Andy Reid. He does go back and watch a lot of college film. What made you successful? They did it with Pat. you know, as far as what made him successful at Texas Tech. Gary Patterson, I remember when he was at TCU, actually watched the Chiefs film to get ready for Texas Tech back when Kingsbury was there because of some of the stuff that Andy Reid does. But the other thing is the red zone, like just how dangerous he is with those 8 touchdowns that did lead the nation for touchdowns for tight ends. But Sonny Dykes, real quickly, even talked about that.
Yeah, he does, and he's such a big body. You know, that's the one thing he does so well is, you know, he can make contested catches and covers defenders up because he is so long, and he can go get the ball, and he's the perfect red zone guy. I mean, he was, you know, we struggled a little bit this year in the red zone, and Jared was the guy that we could count on. You know, we had a difficult time running the ball, so we relied on him to make a bunch of plays, and he made them.
They did rely on him, but he also had an 81-yard touchdown against Baylor, so he showed that ability to, you know, create the separation and get down the field. But for him to have an 81-yard touchdown, that's getting down the field.
What's realistic, though? I mean, I get it. We're obviously highlighting some of the very reasons why they would have drafted him, which they did in the fourth round. Travis Kelce is still here. Noah Gray's your backup. You bring in Irv Smith. Blake Bell, I don't know if he's officially retired. We just kind of all assume that he's likely done. So you've got, what, 4 tight ends heading into camp with the team. And I don't remember how many they had last year. What, Jody Fortson got hurt again last year. And so he didn't even count against the roster or anything like that. I guess what I'm getting at is, what's realistic in 1 year or 2 years? I mean, he's a fourth round pick. Just because you're in the fourth round doesn't mean you're guaranteed to be on the team in 2 years either. So is he someone who's just the third tight end, best case scenario?
A lot of tight ends did go in the mid rounds. It's kind of the run on them. Don't forget Kettle was a fifth round pick. You know, Kelce, third round. This is a former quarterback before he went to Texas. He was Temple High School. He was their quarterback.
Oh, is he taking over the Blake Bell, the belldozer package?
A lot like that. Okay. I mean, these tight ends that were used to be quarterbacks, he's a great blocker too. I mean, that's one thing Sonny Dykes was talking about, was just his ability to put his hand down in line and be that blocker. They split him out several times. He ran the H-back role, did a lot of different things from there. Matter of fact, you know, Sonny Dykes just really talking about kind of his – keep in mind, the Chiefs went with, like, a lot of cerebral guys. Like Xavier Worthy, when he was at the Combine, he was showing plays, and this was one thing Andy Reid was blown away with. He was not only showing, like, his responsibilities, but what the linemen were supposed to be doing, blocking the protection. And that's one of the things Xavier Worthy is an academic All-Big 12 guy. So, I mean, they get these cerebral guys, and Wiley's just like that.
Yeah, no, he's got a very high IQ. He really does. He's one of those guys that comes to the sidelines, gives you great information. You know, you have players sometimes that tell you things, and then you get back and you look at the tape, and they're not always accurate, and they don't really see really what's happening. Jared's exactly the opposite. I mean, he gave us great information all the time. He would come off the field and say, hey, they're doing this, they're adjusting to this way. You know, what if we did this? And so he's just one of those students of the game. You know, the one thing that you're going to get from Jared is, you know, a very mature player. He's an incredibly hard worker. You know, he's a guy that's going to be one of the first players in the facility every day, one of the last to leave. He just is a pro. I mean, he really is. And that's why I think he was so productive for us. One of the big reasons was, you know exactly what you're going to get from him every day. He's going to show up. He's going to go to work. He's going to learn what he's supposed to learn. And he does have an outstanding feel for the game and understanding how to make adjustments.
Because it's like a Chiefs guy, doesn't it? The kind they look for.
He does. I just still thinking big picture. This is the final year under contract for Noah Gray.
He's going to battle with Irv Smith. And Irv Smith did get some playing time with the Bengals. They ended up with the practice squad, didn't he, Drew?
We always talk about.
He was not very good.
We talk about backfilling the roster. To me, is this the guy that, hey, in the next offseason, they can move on from Noah Gray?
Who knows? I mean, last year was the tight end draft, and they didn't.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, we're
like
talking
Ben Sennett would make me really excited. I mean, I like Wiley.
Right.
But
and that's what I'm saying. Like, Jared, I mean, he's going to be third on the depth chart. I guess
was the fourth best tight end in the draft. So the Chiefs.
I think it's more of, is he the replacement for Noah Gray in a year?
In terms of, like, his peak, real quick, before we get to the other guys in the class, I wonder if his, like, peak is like what Dawson Knox is to the Bills, where Dalton Kincaid is tight end number one. Dawson Knox is a red zone threat. Has always been in his whole career a good number two tight end. I wonder if that's Wiley's trajectory, and then they're going to have to get another guy.
Maybe with Sonny Dykes, he's talking about 12 and 13 personnel. He's obviously talking about 2 tight end sets or 3 tight end sets with Chiefs. Usually you're one of the leaders in the league in that. Dane Brugler, who does a great job, obviously probably the best with his beast from The Athletic. He had Bowers, Jatavion Sanders, Theo Johnson, then Jared Wiley. He had Jared Wiley as his fourth best tight end in the draft.
The pick that I really like, and if we're going middle round stuff now, just rapid fire through a couple of these guys. Round four, pick 133, Washington State defensive back Jaden Hicks. We mentioned the value earlier. A lot of projections had him in
Brugler
the 60s.
Had him number one.
Had him in the 60s in terms of where Steel. He would be selected. But yeah, maybe the number one
the
safety.
The 39 best player overall.
This sure seems like, hey, the Chiefs weren't planning on drafting a safety. Like, they had safeties clearly on their board, but really, you know, that wasn't a position any of us really thought they needed to target. Justin Reed's got a year left on his deal. They just spent a pick on Cook, who's coming back from an injury, but you felt pretty good
you
about
lose Edwards.
What you had there. You lose Edwards. To me, though, this is the guy that you draft him, he's like, well, you can't pass up the opportunity to have somebody that fell all the way to the fourth round and is somebody that, if all goes well, maybe it makes it easier so you don't pay Justin Reed a year from now. I know that sucks. Justin Reed's been a great player for this team, but we mentioned it. You have to make the tough decisions, and in order to make the tough decision, you got to have someone behind him. Well, at Brian Cook, and then now maybe the Jaden Hicks kid a year from now, will they be confident enough where they don't have to go spend free agent type of dollars on a safety position? The key is on, you know, center, linebacker, safety. You don't want to really spend a ton of free agent money there. They did for Justin Reed a couple years ago, but if you can fill those positions through the draft, and that's how you, to me, extend out the dynasty. So I love the pick of Hicks in round four.
When you think about great receivers, I mean, he dominated Jalen Polk in certain situations, but it's a Spags guy. You could put him up near the line. He's a little bit undersized as a linebacker, 212, but could he be that Dan Sorensen role where he's creeping up and just a better version of that? He can get to the quarterback on a blitz. He's good in run protection. He's a thumper. He hits people hard. You could put him in a slot and do a lot of different things. He's big, 6'3", 212. I mean, he's a pure safety role.
What about the round five pick, 159, Penn State offensive lineman, Hunter Norzad? Seems like the Allegretti replacement, right? That's exactly what he is. He's going to play every spot
guard,
possible.
Guard, tackle, and he played the last 13 games starting at center for Penn State and made second team all Big Ten playing in the center position. So he can – and Allegretti could snap too, but this is
so it's
100%.
It's a good guy to have in case somebody goes down and just for further development, you know.
This is 100% an Allegretti pick.
Yeah, and you need depth behind. You need some flexibility, and it looks like that's the guy that'll present that. So those are just the round four in five picks. Obviously, I understand later in the draft, they also drafted a corner. And then in round seven, they drafted a guy that's likely to be a backup center in this league in C.J. Hansen out of Holy Cross. We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 5 minutes or so. But the AFC West, did you pay a ton of attention to what they were doing? Because we know the Chargers on the opening night go and get Joe Alt. The Raiders end up with Brock Bowers. The Broncos go Bo Nix. Now that we've seen the complete picture, I still feel the same way after opening night. None of the teams in the division drafted anybody where I'm like, man, they're really, really closing the gap. Now, seeing Friday, seeing Saturday, do you think anybody did that? Because I still look at the Raiders draft, and for me, they're drafting players that fit their coach, which is normally a good thing. Like, okay, that makes sense. Except, to me, they're treating this like it's still 1995, not 2024, soon to be 2025 in a year. In terms of the philosophy and the style of play, Brock Bowers, great pick, fine.
And Jackson Powers Johnson, like that, to the offensive line.
Gardner Minshew's throwing the ball to Brock Bowers,
who's
though.
It
just doesn't matter. I feel like, and they drafted a center and a guard, I think, also, or a tackle in the draft. It just feels like the Raiders are building an old school football team that is not capable of consistently doing what they want to do across 17, maybe soon to be 18 games.
I mean, they just drafted a tight end last year that they really thought. Michael Mayer, they thought was going to be the guy, and probably still can be, had a pretty good rookie year. I think the Chargers did do well. I think Harbaugh, who's won at every single level he's been at, actually, and I know this isn't, hey, man, look at the Chargers. No, this isn't that at all. They actually have legitimacy with Harbaugh. I mean, this is different than Brandon Staley. I mean, this is, you have to look at their coach and think, okay, this is some...
not the same old Chargers from a draft
perspective. He didn't go drafting every Michigan guy either, like a lot of people thought he was going to do. They did lead the way with 13 drafted players, but they had 18 at the combine in Michigan, but they led the way, which is funny because the top four teams with the selections all made the playoffs last year, the college football playoffs.
What about the Broncos? They didn't have a second-round pick. Their big pick
not
was
a huge Bo Nix guy.
Bo Nix pick.
I don't think that's the answer long-term. They did get Troy Franklin to match with Bo Nix, and I think, okay...
Makes sense.
Well, yeah. It does, but I was looking at a lot of Denver media tweet. Troy Franklin drops the ball a lot. Like, that's his big thing, is dropping the ball a lot. So, yes, you're pairing him back with Bo Nix, but he did have a problem with the drops. That's why Troy Franklin kept playing. We have these draft vignettes every year we get. They're typically first-rounders and some second-rounders. We still had Troy Franklin. He was, like, the last guy I was able to play because we still had him in the system. Because they obviously thought he could have been a fringe first rounder. He was actually mocked to the Chiefs a lot.
His stock plummeted.
He fell to Saturday, guys. I mean, he didn't go in the second or third round.
His stock plummeted after the combine, along with the drops. I mean, yeah.
That was funny that I still had his bio because struggled with the drops.
Yeah,
that's not what you want in Kansas City.
When we discussed him on, I guess it would have been Wednesday show, because at one point he was really in discussion for even a second round pick.
Chris Abner Drain, like I like that one, but they got Estime. Mm-hmm. He ran a 4.71 at the combine, and his stock really, Audric Estime, he really dropped. He ran a faster pro day. Imagine that when you go to your school and go from 4.71 to 4.61. That's something to be cautious about.
Yeah, going back to Franklin just for a second, just we discussed last week. Where maybe he was a second round option for the Chiefs. In second round, you could have talked somebody into him a little bit more. He ends up falling to the fourth. But the reason we were discussing him was the biggest issue they haven't had a wide receiver since Tyreek Hill left was a guy that can be vertical, but also track the ball and go contested catches. McColl can get open deep, not the great at tracking the ball. MVS just couldn't catch the dang ball. Troy Franklin seems like he might get open deep, but is he going to actually be able to track the ball? But if you're the Broncos, fourth round for the Broncos, though, because of the Bo Nix connection.
With the I thought several teams would try this philosophy because we've seen this before. You know, remember when Derek Carr was still with the Raiders, and they brought in Devontae Adams because they had that Fresno State connection, Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow connection. You know, you get these great college receivers with the quarterback. Denver kind of went a cheap way to try to do this with Franklin mixed with Nix. Props to Broncos, but this isn't the end-all be-all to win this division. Chargers are way ahead of them because the Chargers draft was really, really good.
Yeah, I think overall the division based off of the picks and all that, like if you're asking for this particular year, like the draft is not about the first year, it's about ultimately what are the next 3 years look like based off of who you drafted. But yeah, the Chargers in terms of their picks this year, they look different than what they had done in prior years.
They had a plan issue, actually.
That's what I mean. Like the only problem is that wide receiver core still in L.A., to me,
getting Ladd McConkey was big, though. And the nation's leading rusher in Kamani Vidal. I know that Cody Schrader led in yards per game. But Kamani, you know, they draft him. They get Brendan Rice. And who knows? I mean, his measurables are better than Puka's from the year before. But Ladd McConkey straight after Joe Alton, the tackle machine, Junior Colson, they did get from Michigan, as they did draft the Michigan guy. And they drafted another Michigan guy later on.
And Harbaugh was singing the fight song as well.
But Junior Colson can tackle, man. Yeah, that guy's a tackling machine.
As soon as they drafted Junior Colson, he was singing "Hail to the."
I like Junior Colson.
Jim Harbaugh's a character, man. It's you can take Michigan, you can take the guy out of Michigan, you can take the Michigan out of the guy, I guess. In this situation,
Cam Hart's a good corner.
The Chargers had to take wide receiver, though. The room was completely battered.
Yeah. Keenan's gone.
Palmer was their
Mike
number
Williams
one.
Gone.
With him and Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, he's still there with Quentin. Who's working out with Marvin Harrison Jr., by the way.
Good for him.
Yeah. Probably smart.
Probably same age.
Seems like
he might be able to learn something from the guy who's younger than he is and better.
Maybe.
That's not a terrible philosophy.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's get to some trash, and then in 10 minutes, we'll get back to the Chiefs in particular. Bink's favorite non-drafted player that's now head of the Chiefs, at least for minicamp. That's coming up in just a little bit. Trash of the day today, though, on one hand, I'm like, I don't know how this could happen, but I also, I guess, could see, as someone that owns a pet, now I don't have a cat, I just don't know how you lose track of your pet this much. So what I'm referencing is a story you might have seen from Utah, where a couple accidentally shipped their cat in an Amazon return package. So the box is lying around, the cat climbs in the box. They ship the box 6 days later. The cat, fortunately, is still alive. A Utah couple trapped in the box without food or water for 6 days. It was eventually discovered safe and well in California. One of the cat owners noticed the pet had gone missing on April 10th. For nearly a week, the family searched the couple's house and neighborhood. They put up missing posters around town, hoping to locate the cat. They then received a text notifying that her microchip had been scanned. Later that day, she received a call from a veterinarian in California. And it's several hundred miles to drive from Utah to Cali. So they got to make the drive to go pick up the cat.
Nine lives. What do you think about maybe two left?
Yeah, like 6 days in a tiny box, you know, a fairly small box.
Hopefully they had the little breathable
clearly
there.
Clearly had it. Yeah. Clearly, you know, the box, it wasn't a steel case.
Reminds me of Christmas Vacation where they gave the cat as a gift. Anand.
yeah.
Or not this, Anand, whatever.
I think it said this cat's name was, it was a Galena or something? I don't know. It's the name of the cat. This is one of the things where a cat, I guess this can happen. This would never happen with a dog. The dog would have...
No.
You make too much noise. Too much noise. Nobody heard a cat meowing, though, like in the whole process.
Would it move around and shift and everything? You're like, what the hell is a cat?
Yeah, I think so.
Again, a dog, this would never happen. But a cat, I guess, I just would have thought you would have heard meowing or whatever.
We're shifting. You're shifting in the box.
You pick it up.
Like the cat going both. Yeah!
But that's what I'm saying. There's no noise.
It's weird.
6 days is pushing the limits of survival. Again, only a cat.
Oh, yeah. Nine lives. Seriously.
And unfortunately, not traveling in the summer. Because if this cat was traveling in the summertime in Utah through Arizona, California, whatever, and it's 100 degrees outside, the cat's not making it. The weather's kind of mild still. It's probably why it survived.
Didn't get the plane flight. It was in the cargo bay, probably. Amazon.
The cat goes in the box. You're telling me when you're sealing up, what are you, on the phone? You're just not paying attention at all?
Does Amazon show the picture at the end? Like, hey, delivery.
Well, this was a return. They were returning it back to Amazon.
Amazon probably freaked out when that cat was in that box.
Yeah. Everybody's picking up on what you were, which it sounds like a Griswold family Christmas. Yeah.
I would never ship a... Man. I don't know how you'd end up doing that. I guess cats climb in everything, so...
There's a basic responsibility almost of being a pet owner, and I feel like you should be able to know if your pet got inside of a...
Yes.
Box to actually...
You think it would let you know when you made the drop-off.
Well, that... And just, where are they? I don't know where they could have gone. Well...
Well, they thought the cat got out of the house. Initially. I mean...
Jumped in the box.
In fairness, for being an idiot and having the cat in the box anyway, if I told you your cat was missing, I doubt the first thing was like, you know what? We probably accidentally shipped it. So that... Yeah. Once it was lost, I get why they didn't think, oh, it might have been in the box. It's just, how did you actually...
Well,
get
usually
to
you
got to
go return
it.
Things, you know, like a UPS type store, a Staples, something like that, because they have like the return thing to Amazon. Wouldn't you think that, again, the pet owner would have maybe noticed something when you return it? Well, usually you got to take it somewhere to return it. So the cat had to been going with him from the box to the store to make the return.
Yeah, 913-586-7610. Someone says they heard of people flying overseas. They get there, the cat is in a suitcase or something. Yeah, we've had a couple trash of the days where somebody... You know, had an animal stowed
Bethany,
underneath.
That
but that's a flight. You know, that can still be 12 hours or whatever, but it's not 6 days.
Yeah, 6 days is...
Six days and nobody noticed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going through processing. I mean, it still had to be handled by individuals, but if you're in a processing center, my guess is it's just a box coming down the line and you're just not paying attention.
I just think how to get through the first person that took it to the Amazon return. Like, how to get through that.
As you're closing the box and taping it, you just don't see the cat. Meow. And the cat doesn't put up, you know, the cat didn't put a paw up or anything. Cat was too quiet. Comfy. Maybe the popcorn in the box, you know, to protect. Maybe that was comfortable for the cat.
Yeah, maybe sleeping.
Yeah.
That's the trash of the day. Coming up next, get back to some Chiefs football. Binks filling in for Cody today. Binks' favorite undrafted free agent. And what one national host had to say about the Chiefs drafting Xavier Worthy.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Chiefs Kingdom. This is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll get to some comments nationally about the Chiefs selecting Xavier Worthy, and also one change that has now been approved by the NFL for this upcoming season that had a lot of current members of the Chiefs tweeting over the weekend and why it may not matter at all. But a lot of people have been asking on the text line, and we were already planning on doing this anyway. They wanted to know, since we got Binkin all day long today, filling in for Cody, they want your insight. You were locked in the draft the entire week. Guys that weren't even drafted. What, 11 undrafted free agents, I believe, to fill out the 90-man roster. I don't know if it's all official yet. That's maybe why Brett Veach's press conference is getting pushed back to later on today until they have everything ironed out with some of these guys.
Players say I'm going to Kansas City or whatever, but it's not official until it's official.
And guys switch, right? Guys, you know, you've seen this. Guys will flip. They get a little more, somebody get a little more signing bonus.
Because recruiting, the signing bonuses are actually better for undrafted free agents than like seventh round picks.
We've always heard that, right? Is, you know, other than being Mr. Irrelevant and what comes with that from a, I guess, fun storyline, sometimes it is better not to get drafted in the seventh round at all. You get to pick your team, kind of, and you get a little bit bump in pay initially. So anyway, out of the undrafted guys, is there anybody that you're surprised by that actually has a chance to, because there's 11 guys that are getting brought in. Most of these guys don't make the team, but is there anybody you could actually see making the team and maybe even being a surprise for this team?
My guy, there's three I really like, but if I was narrowing it down to one, I do like Carson Steele that they brought in because the versatility of the back. The running back from UCLA, he was the leading rusher in the MAC, over 1,500 yards 2 years ago.
We know you love the MAC.
So he led the MAC in rushing. Do a lot of different things with him. Like him, Curtis Jacobs, a three-year starter at linebacker for Penn State. Do like him, too. He'd be great on special teams. It probably should have been a fifth, sixth-round pick, but wasn't. But Curtis Jacobs as well. But Imani Bailey was the guy, and I know he ran a 4.61 at the combine, but watch his film. This guy just will pop at you. But Imani Bailey, he got big money for the Chiefs. I mean, he got a $200,000 base salary guaranteed, $210,000 total guaranteed for Imani Bailey. So it was certainly some interest for the Kansas City Chiefs. Matter of fact, it just seems like it'd be a good fit. His coach was Sonny Dykes at TCU. So while I had Jared Wiley, I said, hey, what about Imani Bailey that they bring in as an undrafted free agent? And he talks about his hands.
Yeah, you know what? A really quick running back, catches the ball well. I think he'll fit what Kansas City wants to do. You know, he's one of those kind of scat backs that makes people miss at the line of scrimmage. He's got great lateral quickness. You know, as I said, it's very versatile. Really does a nice job route running, setting up routes. You know, he's got great hands. He can make people miss in the open space. And so they got a good one. I mean, he really is. He's one of those guys that finds daylight, is a patient runner. And once he finds a hole, he can accelerate quickly and hit it. So I'm excited to see how he does. Again, I think he's a really good fit. And I think that's what Kansas City does such a great job of is, you know, drafting guys that fit what they want to do.
So they didn't draft him, get him as an undrafted free agent. They obviously had a little bit of interest to guarantee $210,000. So at this point, I like Carson Steele and I like him. I like Curtis Jacobs in my top three. I like, but, I'm going to go ahead just for this and say Bailey.
We know Pacheco and Clyde. Those are the number one, number two backs.
He didn't draft one,
but and he didn't draft one. And that seemed like there's a chance. Maybe they would end up drafting a running back. Bucky Irving was a name.
Or sign a JK Dobbins afterwards, but he's gone with the Chargers.
I wanted
now.
Dobbins. Yeah. We talked about it throughout the last month or two. That was a guy I would have liked to take a flyer on. He's out in LA though, with Greg Roman and the Chargers. But running back, look, third back, if you're not going to have McKinnon with this squad again, and it shouldn't seem like that's the path that they're headed down, who can be the third back that maybe is a little more of a receiving option? A question I always have with any of the backs they bring in, though, because if we want to actually talk about their pass-catching ability, great. Can they block? Because you're not getting on the field on third down unless you can block. And what Jerick McKinnon was a fantastic run-blocking or a pass-blocking running back.
Best blocker they had, running back.
And so you've got to know, and I thought Pacheco became a better pass-catching back. Clyde obviously had a nice touchdown catch last year. But if you're a young running back and you want to actually make the team and get on the field on third downs and utilize the skill set that Sonny Dykes is talking about, he's got to be able to block. And that'll be the question up at training camp, and we'll see.
But the receiving aspect of it really, really probably is what the Chiefs are most interested in.
Sure. But I just don't know if they're going to put him on the field if they can't trust him to block as well.
got to do that, but didn't drop the football, and that's
his. Not that we want to go with Pro Football Focus, but his pass blocking grades not the greatest.
Catching the ball, yes. But
I think that's where it's interesting. I mean, he's 5'9" and is two. I mean, he's a big dude, and he's shifty. You know, as Sonny Dykes was saying, he's not. He doesn't have the high end speed, but that makes guys miss. I think Carson Steele is interesting for the fact that he. It seemed like he made the most out of all the opportunities that he had at Ball State and at UCLA. Was very, very good receiving. Obviously, you know, Chip Kelly runs his offense in a certain way, and he's been involved in that offense where it's not NFL-like necessarily, but spread, can run, and also receive as well. Plus, shout out to Carson Steele because he's from Indy, so.
Oh, that's why Drew likes that. That's what it is.
He's a bigger guy, too.
That's what it is. There's a couple
talking moving him to fullback, too. They don't have a fullback, and obviously they went away from last year. But, yeah, he can do a lot of different things.
Are you going to go back to the fullback after not having a fullback?
He's a guy that can purely run, though. I mean, 1,500 yards 2 years ago. Big guy, and he had a great year last year with UCLA.
A lot of these are bodies. Let's just be real, right? A lot of them are camp bodies because, heck, they even had, you know, Lewis Re-Zamet. Lewis Re-Zamet is listed as a running back. He's another guy they guaranteed, $300,000 or something like that, too, as well. So a lot of, even, it sounds like a lot of money, $200,000 guaranteed salary for Bailey. But exactly. Like, it doesn't mean that he's not getting cut in August. Like, it doesn't mean that at all.
And with Zamet, the good thing with him is you can throw him on the practice squad. You get the extra spot. You get that 17th spot because of the international. So the almost uncuttable.
So we'll see. All this will become official later on today. I'm sure we'll get a press release of the 11 guys or whatever undrafted that are going to be signed officially by the Chiefs. But that's always intriguing. And look, this staff has had a decent track with late round picks, but also, you know, you look at undrafted guys in terms of bringing in some interesting individuals that perhaps could end up actually having an impact. There's not, you know, we're talking about mainly camp bodies, but maybe
Turk Wharton, Byron Pringle.
Yeah. Some, you know, somebody that maybe ends up contributing. Otherwise it'll be somebody that we're up there on day three at St. Joe and like, man, you know what? That third string running back, you know, he looks good. We all thought that of Denarius Prince last year. And he's
still here.
And he's still in the mix. He still is, but ended up not having, you know, all of a sudden it was like day four of camp and he just started not getting any work. We're like, what the hell's going on here? It was after the first preseason game, I think it was.
But, Byron did win a Super Bowl ring with the Chiefs back in 2019. So Turk Wharton, you know, diamond in the rough. So, you know, just hoping to take some stabs. The undrafted free agents, you don't get too enamored by him. Because Derek Prince, he lost his chance. He had a real chance last year in the return game, and that kind of dissipated for him.
That was definitely part of the
equation.
He's a
much better receiver than what he showed at Tulsa.
Going back to drafted guys, the Chiefs' first pick, Xavier Worthy. We know they trade up with Buffalo. They draft the wide receiver out of Texas, the fastest man ever at the combine. We joked earlier about comparing him to some other wide receivers, and you know the plan maybe to get him to bulk up a little bit from 160 to 175 or 180 at some point in a Chiefs uniform to help hopefully with longevity and what he can be in the physical NFL. Colin Coward was talking about the Chiefs pick, and we know we had our fun on Friday discussing, hey, Buffalo, why is Buffalo trading with the Chiefs? Like, is that, the track record has not been good for the Buffalo Bills. And then you have Colin Coward on Friday.
Two of the best teams in the NFL, Kansas City and San Francisco, like really well-run teams, have both struggled to draft wide receivers. Why? Because drafting wide receivers is hard. Over the last 20 years, there have been more misses on wide receivers than any other position. 73% of first-round receivers miss. So why is the world guaranteeing me that Kansas City just won the Super Bowl because they took a 160-pound track guy at wide receiver?
So the hit rate, we discussed that on Thursday, that the hit rate at wide receivers is not good in the NFL in terms of getting second contracts. But as far as Xavier Worthy, the reason why people are talking about the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl is because they've already won back-to-back. It has nothing to do with Xavier Worthy, whether he turns it. They've won back. That's why. And they won back-to-back without having Xavier Worthy, without having a wide receiver core last year.
It's also uninformed when you talk about him having no luck. They did draft the number two receiver out of all rookie wide receivers in catches and yards. Yeah, Rashee Rice finished behind Puka, which I'm not giving the Rams credit because he was the Rams' third fifth-round selection. But the Chiefs did hit on Rashee Rice because he had more catches and yards than the other rookie wide receiver besides Puka.
You could also make the case that, you know, fans could be comfortable saying that after they got Hollywood Brown. It's like, look, they upgraded wide receiver before the draft anyways, where fans could say, you know, it's a better room. We're going to win it again.
It's definitely
– it is.
It's definitely a better room. I mean, I told you on Friday, Xavier Worthy pick, I view him as the Hollywood Brown replacement in a year when Hollywood Brown hopefully has a great year in Kansas City, gets a huge deal. And if that happens, I don't believe that huge deal will come from Kansas City. And so hopefully Xavier Worthy is someone that gets in the system for a year. I'm not saying he's not going to have an impact. We were trying to guess yardage already for Xavier Worthy this year. I think he's going to have an impact, but he potentially fits what you're asking Hollywood Brown to do this year. And can he slide into the Hollywood Brown role in 2025? I think that would be an ideal scenario. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, no, I do. I think he could step up there and he's going to get, I mean, right now it's, you know, being returner as well, because he does led the nation in punt return yardage, did Xavier Worthy. But he'll get some playing time, obviously. If Rice has to miss games, then he's going to get a lot more. And maybe you'll see that dissipate, kind of like when Tyreek Hill was all about returning, and then all of a sudden, you know, he started using him more and more as a wide receiver, and that started to go back for Tyreek Hill. But he's more than that. If you watch his film, he plays a lot more physical than his size. He was sitting there waiting on the ball a lot from Quinn Ewers. It'll be interesting to see what he says. Almost had two 1,000-yard years at Texas, 28 touchdowns at Texas in 3 years, including throwing one and returning one. So he has that return touchdown as well. But he runs everything. This is a far more productive wide receiver, and I hate when I keep seeing the Mecole Hardman references or John Ross when it comes to Xavier Worthy and the speed.
Yeah.
I'll just look at this. What college receivers were number 1, 2, and 3 in yardage the last 3 years? How about Romo Odunze, Malik Nabers, Xavier Worthy? So he's a top three receiver as far as yards the last 3 years. Can't say that about Mecole Hardman. Can't say that about John Ross. You can say that about Xavier Worthy being on a team that made the playoffs. Those two guys went in the top 10. So it's him and then Worthy. Those Malik Nabers and Romo Odunze and Worthy, you're on that list. You were a productive wide receiver in college.
Look, he got drafted where he got drafted because there's still concerns. I mean, there's concerns that we can pick apart any guy that was drafted.
Yeah, 190 and 6 foot, he's top 10.
Right. And so if you're asking, like, the number one concern you would have about the Xavier Worthy pick, it's just the fact that he's 5'11", 160. I think it's a very fair criticism. But also, I think we have seen guys in the league before put on 10 pounds, put on 15 pounds, and that's something the Chiefs, like, from day one on Friday, or Thursday night, I guess, they acknowledged that they would like him to put on some weight, because I think from an injury, like, you're talking about a 17-game schedule, but in Kansas City, it's a 20-game schedule, right? 21-game schedule because of the postseason success. So that's a lot of hits on a guy in the NFL, not college, in the NFL, that's only 160. That's why he needs to put on weight. But if he puts on weight, sure, I actually think he'll be durable enough. And then after that, yeah, we'll see if he can progress, yep, as a route runner. But the John Ross thing is always funny to me because that guy got hurt running the 40-yard dash.
And he's actually making the comeback, John Ross, trying with the Eagles or putting him
in
their rookie
mission. He quit on the Chiefs last year.
But like 8-1-6 here. But before drafting Rice, we also drafted Sky Moore, so the miss rate. But here's the thing. The Chiefs only threw one dart at a receiver for Sky Moore. They threw one dart for Rashee Rice. So, yeah, you're not going to hit. The rest of the league misses all the time. So you're not going to hit everything when you're not making it concentrated. It's not like all those defensive backs. 7 out of 10 picks were defensive guys 2 years ago, 5 of 7 last year. They have that one chance at a receiver. They're throwing that one dart. So, yeah, your miss rate's going to be higher, but you did hit on Rashee Rice. So I don't think that's fair when you throw Sky Moore in here, because you're not taking multiple chances. So if you have one guy that fails, it looks like the whole draft failed as far as getting a skill position. It was nice. This is the first time in the Mahomes era the Chiefs have drafted somebody in the top 50 picks that's his offensive skill position. The other one was Clyde. This is only the second player they've selected in the top 50 picks that was offensive skill. So we'll see which direction they go. But he is better. But again, this text line was full of this crap when they drafted Mahomes. I sat in here, did the draft show.
Yeah, you wanted Deshaun Watson.
He didn't want. No, I didn't. I wanted Pat Mahomes. It was the first article on the new 610 website. But the bottom line is set here. Oh, he didn't win at Texas Tech. Oh, he's a gimmick player. This is what this text line was. So a lot of stuff we're seeing on Worthy, it reminds me of Mahomes, because text line did not like Mahomes when they drafted him. They wanted Deshaun Watson. They could sit here and like Mahomes all they want now. They did not like him when they drafted him.
Yeah, that's fans.
Just I'm just saying
fans,
it was fair. I'm just calling it like it was, because that's how it was.
I got you. Look, for Worthy, there are concerns there, but I also think there's reasons to be super excited about what this kid potentially could be with Andy Reid, with Patrick Mahomes, and how they're going to utilize him.
And he diagrammed all the plays for what the linemen are doing, everything. That blew Andy Reid away at the combine. Here's the one thing. Do you trust yourself more in player evaluation or a team that's won 3 Super Bowls in the last 5 years? Which one do you trust more, you or them?
Right. No, I think when you think about the track record at wide receiver that people bring up, as you were kind of laying out about where this pick was compared, one, they did hit on Rashee Rice last year in the second round, but this regime, they haven't drafted a wide receiver at this spot, right? I mean, they
don't give me Cornell Powell and all that.
Somebody nationally was laying out those. Someone brought up Cornell Powell and then like the Smith kid that they drafted like the seventh round. I'm like, okay.
They haven't had a concentrated effort to get receiver.
Correct. And this is exciting. He went 28 because there's still questions. Otherwise, as you said, Banky would have been the second or first wide receiver off the board. So, and look, there's still questions about Roma Dunze even. And we all think he's going to be a stud in this league.
The Terrell Owens comparisons with him.
I think the goal should be if Xavier Worthy this year can be a 500 to 600 yard guy with a couple of touchdowns, learns the system, fills in if Rice misses, maybe the numbers are higher if Rice misses time.
Has some
and
nice punt returns.
A year from now, makes it easier when you may not be able to afford Hollywood Brown. Because if all goes well for Brown, he's going to get a huge payday.
We've all said that, and Veach said the same thing. Basically, remember his press conference, the pre-draft press conference, he basically said Hollywood Brown for 1 year. Remember, he made that comment.
I mean, you can just see where the money is, where the money is headed for that market next offseason. And if Hollywood Brown is a 1,000-yard receiver in Kansas City, he's getting a 3 or 4 year deal for big time money that I don't think the Chiefs will have. That's why you draft Worthy. To me, we'll be sitting here in March of next year, hopefully after a three-peat. But Xavier Worthy, you kind of slot him into the Hollywood Brown role, and then we'll probably still be talking about, hey, you know what? They need to draft a wide receiver again. And that's what they, you know, like next year, there's a very good chance because under contract, they will have Worthy, Sky Moore, and Rashee Rice, basically. Under contract next year, wide receiver.
And
heading
the return
game's
going to be a bigger deal in the NFL this year, and you're getting that.
So that's only three. So there's a very good chance in the first, second round next year, we're going to be talking about drafting a wide receiver again.
Because they're still not complete. I mean, I know Hollywood Brown's here, but if you're going to miss Rice, does that mean more time for Justin Watson? I still think at this time, they're going to be running a lot of 2 and 3 tight end sets. It's still not 100% complete. It's probably not as complete as you wanted it. Like Drew said, it's got one in the draft once again. So it may not be as complete. You're going to have to rely on other guys on this roster.
Drew, text line acknowledged something. I think it's fair. They were keeping an eye on your Cincinnati Bengals. They said, Drew, how do you feel about finally getting a Lombardi in Cincy? You guys signed.
Getting more and more familiar with Lombardis.
Rocky Lombardi.
From Northern Illinois.
A quarterback. That's the closest you guys are getting.
As an undrafted free agent.
Yeah. You guys had your chance, I think. But you decide about Rocky Lombardi. Look, Joe Burrow goes down. Jake Browning goes down. If there's any team that needs quarterback depth, it's definitely Cincinnati since Burrow can't stay healthy.
It's amazing how much the Bengals stay rent-free in everybody's heads here.
They cannot stay healthy.
And you drafted a player in the first round that nobody likes, including Nick Saban. I mean, it's funny seeing Saban and Belichick throw those hot takes out, man. Because they were, part of the establishment, the conservative coaches, and boom, there's Saban and freaking Belichick just throwing stuff out, man.
To their credit, they both did a great job.
Belichick with McAfee was
Saban's going to be awesome on game day.
I can't wait.
Belichick was he was telling stories with McAfee over the weekend about trading for Randy Moss. He was terrific. That's what it's refreshing, but also it still kind of annoys you sometimes. Like, man, you were kind of an a-hole to the media the entire time, and then once you join the media, it's just like Boeheim at Syracuse was a complete jerk, and then now he's doing some media stuff for Field of 68 or whatever it's called. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, so it was just a complete.
The good news is they're so close to the game. They talk about Romo that way. Remember how good Romo was as a broadcast early on? He's starting to get a lot more criticism now because he was closer to the game when he first got out. We'll see about Saban. I think Belichick gets back into the game, though. Saban's done. I mean, he's going to run his car dealerships and be on TV.
He's really running the car dealerships. They're letting him. They're basically saying, can we license your name?
He owns like six Benz. I mean, he's probably big-time Neil for Bama, wouldn't you say? Those cars are probably going left and right.
Well, I don't think he's running the dealership.
Hey,
he's
Nick, we need another Benz.
He's still involved in, phone calls. Like, Kalen DeBoer, real quick to sidetrack, had Nick Saban call the prospect and convince him to come to Alabama anyways. Like,
Kalen DeBoer's right down there. And by the way, speaking of that, how about Kalen DeBoer's draft picks, man? Hopefully
Washington
Alabama can
see
some of that because Kalen DeBoer cleaned up in the draft this year from Washington when he was there.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we will get to what's trending. We'll also get back into Brett Veach kind of mastering the feel now of the draft board. Value all over the place and the focus on offense. 5 of the 7 picks, offensive players from the Chiefs. There was a little bit of news on Friday. I was laughing because there was reaction from Chiefs players on this. And I don't get the freak out. So the NFL said that they're going to allow those guardian caps to be worn in NFL games. If you don't know what that is, if you saw photos or you went up to training camp in St. Joe this past year, you noticed a good chunk of the roster was wearing Guardian caps. They go over the helmet. They're used to protect your brain, right? And there's been some studies done about potentially cutting down on concussions. And the first response I saw for a lot of people, Bank, was like, nobody's going to wear these. Look silly. Look, if a player wants to wear them to protect from a potential concussion and brain injury, why does it matter? Since the football guy is now worried about the fashion of the NFL player. I'm actually stunned by this development.
Well, Chris Jones is pretty critical about him, too, to be honest with you.
He said they don't do anything.
My question is, yeah, because they don't wear them during live drills. They just wear them during practice, wherever you're not wearing them live. There is a high school team that practices only in those two.
That's smart.
Was getting a lot of crap before. Now they look like they knew what they were doing. But here's the thing. Because right now they're just like red or black or whatever. Are they going to be like look like the helmet now? Because if you got guys wearing them, like the helmet doesn't look the same. It's just like be like all red. If the Chiefs,
yeah,
are
maybe
ready,
they can add a logo on there.
Maybe
I don't
logos
know.
On. I'm just curious how they're going to look.
I'm guessing it'll be a small number of players, and maybe
you can disguise the hell out of players and just throwing those on.
I'm guessing it'll be a small amount of players initially, and it will be linemen. I don't think you're going to see a wide receiver wearing them. But
they barely wear knee pads now. Right. They just stretch above the knee.
But these, you know, look, they're padded soft shells that go over the football helmets. And I understand what Chris Jones and players were tweeting. Like they're the ones wearing them, so maybe they hate it. But like, 52% decrease in concussions, the NFL claimed, as a result of players wearing the Guardian caps that they wore in the preseason. Right? Like, so that's significant. So if some player wants to wear them, I don't know, especially at the youth level, this seems like a no-brainer. No pun intended there. But like, truly, it seems like something you should be doing.
How much do those things weigh? Like, how much more weight is it on your head, on your neck?
I don't think much at
all. It's just a padded shell.
I don't think much at all.
Yes, yeah, it's a padded shell. I think they're like $70 a piece.
Like running backs, really, I mean, it benefits them a ton.
To wear them in a game, yeah.
Or inside linebackers, I mean, it's kind of when you want to wear them.
That's why I ask him, man, how much do they weigh? Because how much would it affect your ability to turn your head on a swivel quicker?
I'm just curious about making them look like the helmet, like the logos everything, because you don't want guys wearing the helmet, then certain guys wearing that, and you can't figure out, okay, who's who.
Someone says, the NFL players don't care about fashion. LMAO, hot take. No, when I say football guy, we're talking about the guy on Twitter that used to be a high school coach that texts in on the text
line. Jones
was
Jones on Twitter was not a fan of these helmets. As a matter of fact, when it came out, he had said, or did he delete some of them or what? He says, this is the craziest thing ever. These caps make no difference. That's what Jones had said there about the caps. That was his comments.
Yeah, the NFL says 52% decrease in concussions among players that wore them in camp and preseason. We'll find out, too, if players start wearing them during the game, right? That's what we'll find out.
And there will be some, 100%.
So that was the news. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, no reason for anybody to be upset about it.
No.
From minor a fan issue. Perspective, players look. They got, and even for Chris Jones, don't wear it. Like I guess I don't even know why it's
worth thigh pads or knee pads. Anyway,
the people get confused when they said they're allowing them versus they're not forcing. They're not mandating that it has to 100% be used by everybody. You have a choice. You don't want to wear it as a player, then don't wear the Guardian cap. If that's the case,
and it's become more accepted now with the players.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll also get back into Brett Veach mastering the draft board and the value all over the board.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.